To close out today's show, we have our Left in the Law team, Jan Hocken and Mike Snediger, to discuss the current situation of asylum seekers at the U.S.-Mexico border and the Trump administration's ongoing violation of international law on the treatment of refugees, including asylum seekers. Here are Jan and Mike.
On November 9th, Trump signed a proclamation declaring that people who cross the border between official U.S. ports of entry would be ineligible for asylum. The president cited a threat to national security prompted by the groups of migrants headed toward the U.S. Well, 10 days later, a federal judge in California temporarily blocked the Trump administration from refusing asylum to migrants who cross the U.S. southern border illegally. Well, Mike, can you explain the basis of this federal judge's decision and his interpretation of Trump's legal reasoning? Then we'll go into some of what's at stake around asylum politics.
The judge's decision was based on the laws regarding asylum. Unlike the Muslim ban, which was largely a matter of executive discretion, and the courts reached its decisions there by looking at Trump's intent, like reading his tweets, here there's a very explicit statute that says that you can apply for asylum, quote, whether or not you entered at a designated point of arrival. That's part of the law that arose in the late 70s when the concept of human rights first spread around the world. And it was a bipartisan product, that law. At that time, Republicans mostly thought about Russians and people in Eastern Europe laboring under oppression. But the fact is, everyone voted for it. It has been the law, and it's quite explicit. It forbids Trump from doing what he did. What he is doing overall, I think he's mounting a comprehensive war on the whole concept of asylum by choking off any sort of entry at entry rates, lying and deceiving people who actually do manage to get through, or denying them their right to apply, and then trying to ban anybody who comes around those designated ports and comes through and by some other means, even though the statute specifically says they can apply for asylum.
So as the brief notes that as part of that commitment, Congress has clearly commanded in the INA that any alien who arrives in the United States, irrespective of that alien's status, may apply for asylum, whether or not at a designated port of entry. So the administration's claim that those who enter at outside of the official ports of entry can either be detained or deported violates that aspect of our own law.
Yeah, we don't need to look to international treaties or anything other than federal codes.
So this was a pretty prompt ruling as legal processes go. On the one hand, it's clear that Trump is playing to his basic constituency and building fear of outsiders, people at the border, casting them as threatening. This is a very old song. This is like the 100th verse of the same song. How should we be responding to it on the left? There are these cases, and of course those are important to support. What do you think our position should be on this from a left perspective?
It should be a rejection of every part of his war on asylum. That works from law, and there's some really brilliant lawyers now and lots of people supporting them who moved very quickly and had a comprehensive, well-written attack supported by lots of community groups, ready within days of this order. And the other aspects, the separation of families, is also being litigated. The blockage of people at ports of arrival, the lying to people at ports of arrival. There are good lawsuits against all this. They should be pursued because just as 10 years from now, when our progressive measures are going to be thwarted by these Trump judges who are now being appointed, right now there are judges who are quite willing to stand up if they're given a good legal basis for so doing. But of course, beyond the legal effort, which is ripe and is happening and should be supported, there's the general need to point out the human faces that are actually being labeled as monstrous. It's beyond being a joke because so many of these people come from the northern triangle of countries of Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. fleeing from conditions that we, during the Obama years, for example, made far worse for the people there by supporting coups of democratically elected people with progressive policies.
We're deeply implicated in their suffering and the conditions from which they're
Absolutely.
Fleeing.
Absolutely. And then the people who are coming here as these plaintiffs, these are women with children, people who are really plucky, people who have nothing to lose, and therefore they take on the long trip across hostile territory in Mexico to get here. Just to tell the stories, to keep a focus on who these people really are, is essential backup supporting of litigation.
One aspect of the discourse of the migrants headed toward the border and coming together in groups for protection, which I think is different from how Trump portrays them, as traveling in groups of gangs rather than people seeking security in one another. Sometimes there is this acknowledgement that there are people fleeing extreme violence and threats of violence, but also people seeking a better life. And asylum criteria are very strict. And in fact, that's another way the Trump administration is trying to dismantle asylum. Asylum policy is by narrowing the ground so women escaping domestic violence and many other forms of interpersonal violence are excluded. But I think it is important to acknowledge that there are many reasons that people seek a better life. The criteria for asylum, often even under previous administrations that were more open, can be quite strict.
Well, it's always going to be a continuum, Jan. There's going to be people who, on the one hand, will be dismembered quickly if they are returned to their country. There are other people who grew up in an environment where they had no running water, where they had miserable living conditions, and they seek a better life. Those latter people do not qualify for asylum. So where's the line? You know, there will always be litigation around that line. You know, Jeff Sessions made a big move of the line toward restriction by eliminating domestic violence as one of the reasons, one of the threats that allows you to qualify for asylum. But, yeah, there will always be disputes over that margin where people are indeed threatened if they don't cooperate with gangs who control all the commerce in many neighborhoods of every city in Honduras. If you run a grocery store and don't pay your monthly allotment, or if somebody you know was hurt very badly, or if you were threatened, at what point does it become severe enough or scary enough for you to be granted asylum?
And it is for many people who flee under those conditions, it is difficult, if not impossible, to bring the required evidence or paperwork to support their claims. So, you know, asylum cases are difficult to evaluate, and you have to produce a story that moves the gatekeepers at the borders who assess these cases. So it is itself a way of sorting people into more or less compelling cases.
You have to establish a credible fear. What does that mean? Well, it can mean written statements or testimony from people who will support your version. How much support do you need? Of course, that, like any trial in the U.S., varies according to who's hearing the case, what evidence he or she is going to find persuasive, how much he or she will need in order to be moved.
Shouldn't we then be arguing for open borders and supporting that people are here for a reason? People generally do not leave their homes and travel thousands of miles under difficult conditions unless they have a pretty good reason. And we should welcome them and help them find their way.
That is the only answer, ultimately. I mean, capital is allowed to move freely. Why shouldn't people?
If you have enough money, you can travel anywhere in the world other than perhaps some remote island somewhere where it's dangerous. But capital is very mobile, and people with money can go pretty much anywhere across borders.
But the striking thing right now is that under our present laws, designed and restrictive as they are, Trump is blatantly violating them, and he's being held to account in lawsuits brought by really courageous and smart people, and their judges are striking him down. And they need to push, they will push. We need to support these legal efforts every way we can, and we need to keep shining a light on who these people really are and what they've been through to counter the notion that they're all a lot of 18th Street gang thugs milling around hoping to come over here and rape and rob and run amok.
And that shouldn't mean that everyone who makes it to the border must meet some extreme standard of virtue, because people who've suffered often act out in various ways, especially kids. I think there's often pressure on groups in these situations to meet an extreme standard of virtue, even though they have been through so much. And so I think that is important to acknowledge as well.
Sure. Well, emblematic people like plaintiffs in these lawsuits look pretty good. I mean, the woman whose four-year-old was snatched from her after having walked from Honduras in the lawsuit brought by the Center for Constitutional Rights against Family
Separation. She's a model plaintiff.
She's a model plaintiff. There's no shortage of model plaintiffs. But you're right. The focus is on what has been done to you and what may well happen if you are returned, not how virtuous you are or how pure your heart may be.
So this is Jan Hocken and Mike Snedeker talking today about the federal judge in California who temporarily blocked the Trump administration's latest vicious attack on migrants and asylum seekers. So we'll keep shining a light on these cases.
And we will.
Yeah.